You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 14th of April 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, yesterday I was pointing out the reasons for why it is that doctors have been told to estimate the reasons for death, and if they think a patient has died of COVID-19, they should put that down on the certificate. And the reason for this, I suggested, is to limit the backlog, speed up the process so that coroners don't have to actually do an autopsy. And at the same time as speeding up the process and limiting the backlog, they would also still be letting the mortuary assistants know which bodies they need to be most careful of. And people in America are suggesting that this opens it up for them to massage the figures and increase the numbers of the people that are dying of COVID-19. But surely it is better to be overly careful and suggest that somebody may have died of this rather than say that they haven't, and then have some mortuary assistant not be wearing the correct PPE and catch the virus from the body. And on top of that, they are actually hiding the figures, because they're not telling us about the number of people that are dying in the care homes. They're not adding that to the number of people that are dying in the hospitals, which I'm going to talk about a little bit later. But first off, we have a confirmation that this is what is happening. We have now got this huge backlog. Harrowing photos allegedly taken at a Detroit hospital where coronavirus patients have died in emergency room hallways shows bodies stored in vacant rooms and piled on top of each other in a mobile morgue, CNN reports. An emergency room worker at Sinai Grace Hospital shared the shocking images with the outlet, which published them on Monday. In one photo, two victims in white body bags are seen lying side by side on a bed, and a third is propped up in an armchair. A second photo allegedly shows multiple body bags stacked on the floor of what is believed to be a portable refrigerated storage unit parked outside the hospital. And this is in Detroit. Obviously, New York's got it even worse. And this is the problem. People will say, well, the death rate isn't that huge if you look at the number of people that are killed by the flu during a year. But what we're talking about here is a high number of people that are being killed in a matter of days, and we haven't got a system for dealing with that number of dead all at one time. This is why they're trying to stagger the numbers of the people that actually catch this virus, is because we just haven't got the logistics to deal with so many people catching it. People also say that are trying to liken it to the flu. They're saying, well, it's just a different type of flu. But with the flu, when you catch the flu, within 24 hours, you start showing the symptoms. You're feeling rough, you're feeling tired, and you don't really go out. And most people that catch the flu, they infect an average of one person. If you catch the coronavirus, it could be up to 2 weeks before you start showing the symptoms. And all that time that you're not actually showing the symptoms, you are able to infect other people. You will be shedding the virus. So it's much more contagious than the flu. The people that are trying to minimize this, I don't think they're helping us at all. If you're a nationalist, you should be maximizing this. You should be going out in as much PPE as you've got, so that people see what people are now going to have to wear in order to keep themselves safe because of the government not wanting to appear racist and close the borders. And you can point out that people's grandparents are dying, people's parents are dying, and all of this is because of this insane love of multiculturalism that our governments have. I mean, we should always look at what is happening around us and think of how can we capitalize upon this? And this is what the government has done. They've looked at this, they've looked at this catastrophe, and they thought, right, what are the positives from this? And we know that the government want to have a cashless society. So they're encouraging the study or making available the studies that show that cash carries the virus. We know that the government would like to have more surveillance. So they're promoting the idea of having these surveillance apps in our mobile phones. And that is to be expected. And we should be doing the same. We should be looking at this and thinking, right, well, how can we advance the cause of nationalism with this? Well, we can concentrate on what led to this. And that helps nationalism. To be coming out with conspiracy theories about 5G or, oh, this isn't as bad as we're being told, it's just the flu, that doesn't actually help our cause. It may be satisfying for some who wish to always be against what the government say, but it doesn't actually help us. Now, as I pointed out at the beginning, the figures that were actually being given of dead are way off, and they're actually being minimized, really, really minimized. And the government don't want people to know how many dead there are, because there's a lot more dead to do with this disease than we're actually being told. And this is now starting to come out. Now, I don't know in America if they are just giving the numbers of dead from the hospitals, but that's what they've been doing in Britain since day one of this. They've just been telling us the number of dead in the hospitals, and they've been just not talking about the number of dead in the care homes. And of course, the care homes are the most vulnerable areas. Care homes are filled with people over the age of 65, 70, a lot of people in their 80s and their 90s. If this virus gets into a care home, then you can end up with half the people in the care home dying off. And these are people's grandparents that are in there, and they're unable to see them because of this virus. If somebody catches the virus, you can't have contact with them. So these poor elderly people who may not know what's going on, they're desperate to see their family. They can't see their family when they're in these care homes. They haven't got ventilators there. They haven't even got the drugs required in order to give them a peaceful ending. It must be absolutely horrific for these elderly that are catching this. And it's now finally coming out what's been going on in these care homes in Britain. Care home victims of the virus are being airbrushed out of official death tolls, despite as many as half of the fatalities happening there. It was claimed last night. Think about that. We're being told we've got 10,000 dead in the hospitals, and there could be as many as 10,000 dead in the care homes that is not being mentioned. The number is largely unrecorded because figures released by Public Health England only relate to hospital deaths. The scale of the coronavirus catastrophe unfolding in Britain's care homes was dramatically laid bare last night. The chief medical officer revealed that almost 100 more homes had reported outbreaks in the past 24 hours. And just think about it, those 100 more care homes, there could be a 50% mortality rate if the people in there are all over the age of 80. He said more than 13% had now been hit nationally by the deadly disease, the equivalent of a staggering 2,200 homes. The Daily Mail has been told that the figures are even worse in London, where almost a quarter of the 1,300 residential and nursing homes have been affected. Another 30 care home deaths were confirmed over Easter as the virus spread through facilities in Essex, Durham and Glasgow. And it's got to be a lot more than just 30. They're covering this up. They're putting down other reasons for death on these certificates. Much as people are suggesting that in the hospitals they're putting coronavirus when it could be something else, in the care homes it's the other way around. Former Pensions Minister Baroness Altman, who has long campaigned for dignity for the elderly, said the crisis showed how some of society's most vulnerable were being abandoned like lambs to the slaughter. And just thinking about this, I mean, I came across this news story yesterday and it just got me thinking about the elderly and how really horrific this must be for them, especially for those who have some form of dementia. I mean, even before this, when they're put into these homes, they're not just looked after by their own people anymore. They're not looked after by their own race. You imagine if you've got dementia and you can't remember things properly and you get put into one of these homes and you've got black or non-white nurses that are looking after you, they must wake up every morning thinking that they're in another country. It's like a child being taken from his family and then put with a black family. It must be so unsettling for them. And nobody talks about that, of course, because it's to do with race and race is supposed to just be a social construct. But that must be really horrible for these people with dementia. I mean, what they're effectively saying is they don't need to see their extended family. And it could be their extended family, their race, is just about the only thing that they remember about themselves. So, and on top of that, they've now got this horrific virus that is taking their lives. The figures came amidst a string of shocking revelations yesterday about the crisis. The Mail can reveal that the threat from coronavirus in care homes is now so grave that terrified staff are refusing to work. And remember, we heard about a care home in Spain and it was just abandoned and they went in there and they just found 15 dead bodies. All the elderly had just died because the staff are terrified that if they go into these care homes, they're going to catch the virus and they're going to bring it home to their children. And when you consider that these care homes are filled with the most vulnerable people, you would have thought that they would have been targeted for PPE. You would have thought that they would have been sent out FFP3 masks back in January. And they haven't been, and they're not even being sent out the PPE that they need now. Some carers have already walked out because they are petrified of running the gauntlet every day without safety gear. They fear catching the disease themselves or spreading it to loved ones or those they are supposed to be looking after. How come they don't have the safety gear? How come they haven't got the masks? Why didn't the government make certain that these holding centres, basically, of the most vulnerable people to this virus, why didn't they make sure that they were safe and secure and the people that looked after them, the nurses that looked after them, had the correct equipment so that the nurses weren't spreading it to them? I mean, once this virus gets in there, it just spreads like wildfire. There are even cases of people coming out from the hospital, and they're being told, well, you're better now, you've managed to kick the disease, and they put them back into the care home, and it then spreads around the care home because they haven't properly beaten the virus and they've actually been let out of the hospital early because they've got to make room for them. The care homes were told that it was okay to have ex-corona patients in their care home and that people just needed to wear PPE. And of course, that hasn't kept the rest of the care home safe, and we've had loads of people dying from it, and we're not being told about it. And then of course, they're not going to investigate it until all this is over. But I suspect that there's been a lot of avoidable deaths out there of our parents and our grandparents, and we need to be reminding people that all of this has been caused by the government being frightened of being called racist and closing the borders. The known care home death total is now at least 275 nationwide, but industry experts warned the true figure is likely to already be in the thousands. I mean, that is a huge cover up there to say that it's just 275. They complained that care home victims were being airbrushed out of the daily death toll, which only includes hospital fatalities. Well, if they think that it's possibly double the amount that have died in the hospitals, which would seem reasonable to me, because the ones that die in the hospitals are mainly the elderly, then that would put the figure at more like 10,000, not 275 nationwide, but 10,000 nationwide, because we've got 10,000 that have died in the hospitals. It was also claimed some doctors were not recording coronavirus on death certificates of care residents. A whistleblower who works in death registration in the south of England told Channel 4 News that in many cases it was being left off. Now, why would that be? Well, because they don't want lawsuits as to why they didn't look after these people. And of course, in the Corona Act, one of the parts of the Corona Act that the UK government passed was to prevent the government from being sued for not providing medical care. And this is the one of the reasons for it, is because instead of treating everybody equally, they're now being told, if, well, people that are older and they may not actually make it through if they're put on the ventilator, then we just have to leave them. And, you know, that's similar to a situation that you would have in wartime. But if you are going to just leave these patients, you have to make certain that they have palliative care. You have to make certain that they don't die in agony, basically, of asphyxiation and running out of air. That's what's happening in these care homes. You know, it must be a horrific, agonizing death that our elderly are going through because of the incompetence of our government. Ministers were last night urged to take immediate action to stop the severe shortage of personal protective equipment and testing and help shield staff and residents from outbreaks. The National Care Association warned that if the care system collapsed, there would be a horrendous impact on the already overstretched health service. The association called for the urgent appointment of a cabinet minister for care homes to tackle the problem. And the government are saying that the care home industry is separate to the NHS, so they didn't have a facility there to get the PPE out to the care homes to give the instruction to them. They just sort of said, well, we couldn't do it because the care homes aren't an extension of government. They're all separate private institutions. It just wasn't possible. But all they had to do was just send out masks, basically, and that would have prevented the disease getting in there. But of course, they're still telling us that we don't need to be wearing masks. At a Downing Street briefing last night, Chief Medical Officer Professor Chris Whitty said 13.5% of care homes in England now have coronavirus, up from 9% a week ago. There have been COVID-19 outbreaks in 92 care homes in the last 24 hours, he added. There are 17,000 care and nursing homes in England, and the number infected with coronavirus is up 50% in a week. Mr. Whitty said the government is trying to extend the amount of testing of people in care homes as the ability to test them ramps up over the next few weeks. The lack of protective gear is causing many care workers to fear going to work. Nicola Roberts, who runs the Palms Row Care Homes in Sheffield, said staff absence has been phenomenal. She said 11 residents had died and a nurse is in intensive care with coronavirus. This is the other thing. These care home assistants, they're paid a very small amount, and a lot of them are probably just thinking, well, it's not worth the risk going in and catching this and giving it to my family. And I think that's the phenomena that we started seeing happening in Spain that led to this abandoned care home. We could end up seeing abandoned care homes here in Britain. She said staff are too terrified to come to work, and you can't blame them. We're asking staff to go to work with limited PPE and put their own families at risk. And as I say, because of this low wages that they actually pay them, a lot of these workers that work in these care homes, they're not even white. Looking after our elderly, I mean, that's a very, very important job. The same as looking after our children is an important job. They should be paid a lot of money, and there should be subsidies from the government to help look after our elderly. And the least we could do for them is make sure that the people looking after them are from the same race as them, are from the same extended family, rather than just palming them off on somebody else's family, which is what it effectively is if you've got Africans or Pakistani nurses that are working in there. A care worker employed at a different home, a mother of three, told the Mail it's like a ticking time bomb. Without proper safety equipment or tests for people working here, it's a matter of when, not if, there is a coronavirus outbreak. And somebody of a particularly cynical bent might suggest that the government are deliberately not doing anything about this, because if they can get rid of a load of old people, it will save money on the NHS. And of course, they can always be replaced with new Britons from outside of the EU. And I'm not that cynical. I don't think the government would be deliberately trying to get rid of them like this, but they should certainly be paying more attention to it. And we as nationalists should be highlighting this and highlighting the fact that anybody that has an elderly relative that has died through this, their death is just at the hands of the government, just as much as all the white victims of black crime. That's at the hands of the government. All of this could have been avoided if the government had just quarantined Wuhan and China in the same way that China quarantined Wuhan. Beijing didn't even get an instance of coronavirus because China closed the borders with Wuhan. So why didn't we just close the borders with China? And then this disease would never have broken out. Gavin Edwards of the Unison Union said the lack of PPE is a massive issue among care workers and accounts for 2/3 of the messages we are getting from them. People are genuinely scared for themselves and the people that they live with. Nadra Ahmed of the National Care Association said, "We are losing a whole generation to this virus. But it feels like because they are old, the deaths don't count." And of course, the elderly generation are the ones that voted for Brexit. They're the ones that tend to vote for more conservative policies, more right-wing policies. Most of them are very patriotic. So again, there is a temptation to think that, you know, maybe the government are just deliberately ignoring this and not doing what they can to help them, because it might help their progressive agenda. Maybe that's something else that we can point out. Maybe that would help to encourage the government to show that that is not the case and they do care about our elderly. The most recent statistics, which only go as far as the week ending March the 27th, said there had been just 20 coronavirus-related deaths in care homes. Just 20 is all they're admitting to, and you've got thousands of these basically potential corona victim holding camps filled up with the most vulnerable people in our society, and they're only just thinking about sending out protective equipment to them now. But Care England estimated there have been nearly 1,000 deaths from the disease in elderly people in sheltered accommodation. And yesterday, a study suggested that about half of COVID-19 victims on the continent are from care homes. So if half of the victims in Europe are from care homes, then it will be the same here. And as I was saying earlier, that means we've got 10,000 dead pensioners. And at that age, white people make up about 95% of the population. So this huge holocaust of elderly is all white people, practically all white victims. And what we're hearing about is the disproportionate numbers of black and brown victims in the hospitals, when what we should really be talking about is the thousands of dead elderly. Our grandparents that are dying in this. Figures from varying official sources in Italy, Spain, France, Ireland, and Belgium estimated between 42% and 57% of all deaths from the virus have been happening in homes. Research by academics based at the London School of Economics found COVID-19 fatalities are not recorded unless doctors put it on the death certificates. And this is the complete opposite of what we're being told by the conspiracy theorists, isn't it? That they think all these numbers are being bumped up. We were only being told about half of them. Last night, a whistleblower told Channel 4 News that this was not happening with those who die in care homes in many cases. The unnamed worker in death registration in the south of England said if the number were being accurately counted, it would be equal to the toll in the hospitals in their regions. But he revealed instead that they were putting down old age dementia or Alzheimer's with no mention of COVID-19 because it was a, quote, easy option for GPs. The whistleblower claimed he was even told by a family doctor in a phone conversation that they had done this. So they're deliberately trying to cover it up. Why would they be wanting to cover it up? That's the question that we need to be asking ourselves. Why would they be covering up the number of COVID-19 deaths in care homes? Well, I've got one other news story to bring us today. And again, this is confirmation of things that I'd been speaking about weeks back, about the problems that we were going to have with the migrants. Of course, I said weeks back that these numbers were being kept down because they're actually not telling us the true numbers of the people that have got this virus. And I've been pointing out that the migrants and the refugees and the newcomers have all been ignoring the requests and the orders to quarantine themselves and to stay locked down. And they've been taking advantage of this to take over the streets, basically. And the police have been too reticent to actually go and arrest them for fear of upsetting community cohesion and starting up community tensions. Exactly the same excuses that we heard as to why the police weren't investigating the Muslim rape gangs. We get the same excuses now as to why they're not doing anything about the blacks and the non-whites fighting in the streets and continuing to behave as if we're not actually living in the middle of a pandemic. Well, yesterday, dozens of people were arrested in the Brussels municipality of Anderlecht after migration-backed youths staged a riot and fired shots from a stolen police service weapon. The trigger for the riot in the European Union capital, which is under strict lockdown as Belgium experiences one of the worst per capita coronavirus death tolls in the world, seems to have been the death of a 19-year-old identified as Adil. The youngster suffered fatal injuries after running a police checkpoint on a scooter and subsequently colliding with a police van, which was sent as backup, according to Politico. So this innocent, aspiring young rapper, he would still be alive today if the police hadn't suddenly popped up with their police checkpoint and just left their van there on the road deliberately for the poor black youth to ride his scooter straight into. Well, he was obviously fleeing from the police, didn't want to get caught. He was obviously resisting arrest, and this is why he collided with the police van. And if this had happened to a white lad, there's no way that the white community would be rioting. They would be saying, well, that was a bit silly of him to resist arrest. What was he doing to be fleeing from the police like that? But of course, as we know, that's not so in the black community. Calls for a protest soon followed, despite bans on public gatherings. And video footage shows youths who appear to be from a migration background trashing police vehicles with slabs of stone in the middle of the street. How did it manage to get that far, that they were digging up slabs of stone? Why weren't they prevented from gathering together in a protest in the first place? Reports indicate that the protest escalated to the point of an individual disguised by a balaclava firing shots from a handgun, which was stolen from the police, ending in at least 43 arrests. Towards 8 p.m. on Saturday, the situation was under control in the entire area, claims the local mayor, Fabien Kumps. There was a new spike in violence, a more limited one, around 10 p.m, with stones thrown at a police station, windows were broken, but this was rapidly repressed by police, he added. Mayor Kumps suggested that the rioters clearly were not gathering in memory of young Adil, but in order to be violent. Patrick Avinipiol, who leads the police in Anderlecht, admitted that the police didn't intervene right away when the youths began gathering in defiance of the lockdown, but said they had to take action when we saw that groups of young people were arming themselves with rocks taken from construction sites in the area. So if they had actually just treated these youths from a migrant background in the same way that they treat white people, if they had gone in there to break up this gathering and arrested people, it wouldn't have escalated. It wouldn't have escalated to the police car being trashed and shots being fired. I mean, that's pretty serious for armed police to have their weapons stolen from them by these foreigners, basically. And we're lucky we haven't seen anything like this taking place in Britain yet, but I'm sure that we will do. I mean, every day now we're hearing about immigrants breaking the lockdown, breaking the quarantine, and either robbing stores or rioting like this. And then we hear that the majority of the patients in the hospital with COVID-19 also just happen to be black and non-white. And they're wondering why that is. Well, could it possibly be because they're ignoring all the instructions not to gather? They're ignoring the instructions to socially distance themselves. And of course, then when you hear that your grandparents have got COVID-19 and there isn't room for them in the hospital, they are being turned away because the hospital is full, and you find out that 70% of the victims of COVID-19 are non-white, I think that is the sort of thing that is going to encourage people to be not very happy with the government. That's the sort of thing that's going to encourage people to want to see a nationalist administration that is going to put the needs of the extended family first before putting the needs of somebody else's extended family first. I mean, this whole situation should be a real boon for nationalists, populists, and anti-globalists. It's just a question of how we act upon it and how we promote our narrative to those around us. I really hope that now Boris Johnson is out of hospital, he is thinking seriously about how far we should continue going with this globalist idea. It was globalism that caused him to not close the borders. It was anti-racism that caused him to go shaking hands with COVID patients who were most certainly Chinese at the time when he went around the world shaking their hands. And it was his lack of preparedness and relying on China for all the medical goods that we need, such as masks, testing, gloves, hand sanitizer, medical chemicals, all these things have to be imported from China. And because of that, we have shortages of them all. One would hope that he was thinking about these things as he was getting better. And maybe we might see a more nationalist-minded Boris Johnson as he gets better. I certainly hope and pray that's what we see. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk radio for the nationalist community.